the platform. Step up and speak out.
It's a good evening, ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Larry Kwederai. It is a platform on this 11th of March 2019. It's just gone 29 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. I'm with you until 8:30, after which Chila comes in with our story. Thank you very much for joining us. As I said, just to remind you of some of the frequencies you can listen to us on: Chivo 99.8, Bybridge 106.1, Nyanga 98.2, Bulawayo, my hometown, 106.7. And we're broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. I'll be reminding you of some of the frequencies as we go a little bit later. But if you want to listen to us over the internet, we're available there, www.zfmstereo.co.zw. You can also listen to us via the TuneIn app. Just download it for free via whatever app store that you use, and then you can listen to, look for ZFM Stereo and listen to us live and in charge. Our WhatsApp number is open, 0731 168 045, and our call-in number, of course, is also open on 0772 168 045. Of course, on Twitter all the time at ZFM Stereo, on Facebook, facebook.com/ZFM Stereo. So in the studio today, I've got the spokesperson. We keep referring to it as the MDC Alliance. This is not it, is it?
No, that's not it. The MDC Alliance was an election process, an election symbol. The party is the MDC. It's defined in Article 1 of our Constitution. The name, the symbol, and the headquarters of the party. It is the movement for democratic change. It has remained that. It remains that. It is the movement for democratic change. We do that in terms of the context of elections. We end up having to probably call ourselves MDCT, call ourselves MDC Alliance, because of the context and certain conflicts that would have been manufactured at that particular point in time, which allows us to create an election symbol so that we are able to put it on the ballot. Our supporters can understand, differentiate a number of things. But we are the MDC, the Movement for Democratic Change, as defined by our constitution. Which constitution, Larry, I've brought into the studios so that it's very clear that what I'll be talking about derives from the primary document that governs the Movement for Democratic Change, which is the only civilian party in the country, or the biggest civilian party in the country as we stand.
So the question I ask is, just in case you don't know who I'm talking to at home, is Councillor Jacob Mafume, who is the spokesperson for the MDC. So there is another formation, or for want of a better word, there is another party that is called the MDC, but it's called the MDCT. So what happens there for me sitting at home or in a fuel queue or whatever the case may be, trying to understand what's going on? Because you made reference to the MDCT at some point in time, and it was standing against the MDC Alliance.
Yes, well, that is a formation fronted by people who fragmented from the MDC and created a splinter group, which has only got, is it one seat or so in Parliament? But nonetheless, we are defined by our primary document. We are defined by the Constitution. We are the MDC. We've got all our symbols and how we define ourselves in the Constitution, which Constitution we use to govern our affairs as it is amended from time to time at a Congress, because the Congress is the only body that can amend the MDC Constitution. So it remains the Movement for Democratic Change. And I thought that it was an important point to clarify for the listeners at home and for the nation at large. These other issues are election symbols that we then use from time to time at an election. And it might happen that as we go to the next election, we might need to use certain symbols and so forth and so forth. But we do hope that it is clear to everybody so that they do understand and look at the constitution that they are reading. And it also defines the continuum of the organization. The organization is continuing from 1999 when it was set up, and it's moving. So it is a continuous living organization that has had uninterrupted existence.
So given that context, you talked about these other parties that came into the alliance. as it was, what was called. No, I'm saying as it was into the alliance. Now, have these been fully absorbed into the MDC? What is the status of them?
Yes, they've been fully absorbed into the MDC. Those which parties that dissolved themselves, you left the party, the PDP, MDC, and we integrated into the MDC. So these have, for all intents and purposes, dissolved and been integrated into the leadership and into the various structures right down to the bottom. And that integration is leading to this Congress that we are holding on the from the 24th of May to the 26th of May. So there's been that integration. The party is one. It's called the Movement for Democratic Change, as defined and represented in the first article of the constitution that governs us. And that is what is going to be governing the organization as we go forward, and the various amendments that were made in it. So it's a very clear continuum, and the parties have come or have moved or gone into the MDC, as it were. They no longer exist.
So, but there were instances in which some people, some of whom were on radio last year, came in and said that they were disgruntled about some people who had left the party before, and probably said some things that they found disparaging about those who left who stayed behind within the MDC as it was. Have the concerns that those people have been addressed, or is one of those that pretty much everybody just falls into line?
Well, it's an ongoing process, a process of forgiveness, a process of getting to terms with each other. A lot of things are said sometimes, even in a family, where certain conflicts at a funeral, even at a wedding, you'll find other people might say words against each other. But at the end of the day, we are family. It is the values that bind us. It is the values that govern us, that allow us to forgive each other, that allow us to accommodate each other, that allow us to move on the path. Many of the people that have integrated or that have been come back into the MDC, that remained in the MDC, are Democrats at heart. They've sacrificed for it. They've lost families. Some have lost life. Some have lost limb. Some have lost property. And some of you have been consistent and have stood up for democracy. It is part of the process that where there are issues, where people might differ and might not say charitable words against each other in the heat of the moment, they need to take stock, be able to forgive, be able to move forward. And I do believe that by and large, those wrinkles, those words are now water off a duck's back. We are now walking together. We had an election where by and large we were able to perform significantly well, where our president got the votes that he got, the highest votes in our view, in this election, and the parliamentary seats, the mayors and so forth. There was an orchestra that moved, there was a band that moved and achieved results.
I'm just going to read this message so you know that I am paying attention to your WhatsApp messages. And we did talk about it, but this is for, I think somebody might have missed this part. So as a new formation, how does Chamisa call for a Congress? What is his status? And is he with the likes of BT who called Changirai a thief back in the days? So that's the question that he's asking.
Well, I doubt whether anyone called Changirai a thief in those words, but what is clear is that there is a Congress that is being called. If you understand, the constitution is this one. The MDC has continued and it has uninterrupted existence. And the appointment process for President Nelson Chamisa is very clear and is moot by now. It's been accepted in the party, and the party is following the Congress path. We have had standing committees, we have had national councils, we have had clarifications, rallies. We have even gone into an election under the leadership of President Nelson Chamisa. And that leadership was endorsed by rank and file of the party. We now have got MPs, we've got councillors, and so forth. So in terms of the whole process, the constitutional process, the legitimate process, and the factual process, as it were. It is very clear at who the current leadership of the party is, what processes led us to be at this point, and where we are going. We have come to the end of the five-year term, where there should be a Congress, and that Congress comes by way of operation of the Constitution. You cannot go beyond the 5 year, otherwise it becomes a 6 year organization. So by operation of the Constitution, by operation of the law, we are having a 5 year Congress. What can be moved is the dates in which you can hold the Congress within the 5th year of that Congress, and that is now a matter of logistics, practicality, strategy, and implementation. And the wisdom and the collective wisdom of the party and of our National Council was that the Congress must be held on the 24th to the 26th of May, and everybody is contesting in that Congress with a view to transform the party.
You listen to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. I'm in the studio with the MDC, a spokesperson, also the councillor for Mount Pleasant. The next question I want to ask is, we had the Secretary General of the party, Senator Monzara, last week, and there was the issue around how many positions will be up for election at the next at the Congress. Mm-hmm. And before that, there had been, at least within public spaces, there had been the impression that you were not on the same page. Mm-hmm. Has that been clarified now?
Well, we are on the same page. I mean, and that same page is the Constitution. Well, what's happening is people are narrowing it at the Congress to just a context of a few visible leaders at the top, maybe for the media attention that they get. It is a democracy festival. There are thousands and hundreds of posts that are available in the MDC Congress and Constitution. We start from the branch. The leadership is elected from the branch. We go to the ward. There are leaders that are going to come into the ward. We go to the district. There are leaders that are going to come from the district. These are all elections. We go to the provinces. There are leaders that are going to come into the provinces, new provincial chairs, new provincial secretary generals. It is not only about the narrow 16 posts that people are talking about. This is a civilian party which is anchored around elections from the bottom to the top. Then there was the question of the standing committee, which is probably where people wanted to narrow. The whole Congress, it's a whole huge movement, which obtained about 2.6 million votes in the presidential election and thousands of other votes in the MPs. We have leadership coming from all parts of the country. And the top 16, as it were, the Constitution provides that the president, vice presidents, the national chairpersons will be elected directly. That is very clear to everybody. But the issue of the other posts is a post that we are going to have a penultimate National Council. As it stands, there were proposals from the last Congress that were supposed to be incorporated in the Constitution, that these will then be appointed by the President. But we have designed a template, we have designed an electoral process. The penultimate National Council is going to solidify the position that the leadership feels is will do justice to the Congress and to do justice to the issues that are there. And once that decision comes out in terms of whether every position is elected, it will be done that way and endorsed at the Congress, and that is what the Congress is for. So within that context,
just to be clear, there is still a possibility that at the Congress, not all 16, the ones that you're talking about, they kind of...
A possibility, depending on what the penultimate National Council decides and how they interpret the Constitution. Remember, when the Secretary General was here, he said he had been tasked to go and read the Constitution, that is going to report back to the leadership, and the reporting back is done to the National Council, which looks at the various interpretations that are possible, some coming from the floor, some coming from the understanding of the Secretary General, the President, the Chairperson, and so forth. Once they come, that collective understanding is crystallized into one course of action, as because the Congress must go on, the beat must go on. So once that is crystallized into one position, then that is the position that will be taken into Congress, which will then be ratified by the Congress. So there is no disharmony, as it were, or a conflict. It is what it is in the Constitution, and it will be what it will be once decided by the National Council.
So for what we to be clear with is, he was pretty definite about what he believed is the actual position, that being 16 positions, those 16 positions up for grabs. And just to be clear, that that wasn't a final position that he was bringing before the council.
The key word that you have used is believe. He has then to make believers of the other non-believers. The part of leadership, you report to the National Council, you reflect what you have seen in the Constitution, which is a legitimate point of view, as it were. It's presented to the National Council. If there are contrary positions, it's a matter of interpreting the Constitutions, interpreting the Congress resolutions as they were in 2014, and then coming up with an understanding that will then be adopted by the other leaders, as it were. We are talking about things that are far away. These are nominations. Like I told you, that there is a festival of elections at the bottom that are very clear, and that will be happening starting this week from the 10th and to the 17th. We'll be doing the branches, then thereafter the wards, thereafter the districts, then in April the provinces. And once the provinces are done, we then move on to the big one, which is which then affects this position. So there's still time, and our Congress, we do it by nomination. You don't wake up and say me. It's not the way that it is done in the Constitution. All this leadership, once they've been done and they crystallize at provincial level, they'll then nominate among themselves, among the leadership, among the membership, the people that they see suitable to hold certain position. And then you are asked whether you accept. If you accept, you then part. If there's one, more than one nominee, then we move on to the election.
0731-168-045. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we continue to have this discussion, and I'll be keeping an eye out for your phone calls. There's still so many things we want to go through in as far as this discussion is concerned. Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station.
Step up and speak up.
Yes, you're still indeed tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. 0731-168045 being our WhatsApp number. 0772-168045 being our call-in number. Just drop the zero in both instances if you're outside the country, and then just add plus 263. So, in the studio, I've got the MDC spokesperson, Councillor Jacob Mafume. Before we went to the break, there's some quarters that say there's a section of the party that is afraid to put all these positions up for these particular. I know that, much like in any other country, most of the people look at the bigger positions and not realize there's so many other positions. So I've understood that part. Mm-hmm. So that there's a fear that they might lose some allies if they stand against certain people, and then, you know, it might create a difficult working relationship with whoever's the leader or whoever's in a position of influence. What do you say to that?
No, the character of the MDC in Article 4 is not to deal with such issues around the fears of persons. What we do is we look at the character of the MDC. The character of the MDC is defined very well in Article 4. The character and culture of the MDC. We are pro-poor, people-centered, social democratic, non-racial, and non-sexist movement, which firmly supports gender parity in all organs of the party. And it goes on and on and on. So those fears, yes, in a party will always be found. I might fear that I might not come back as a spokesperson, but I must have faith that the next person who will win or who will contest me will be able to articulate the party agenda, if not better, than me, or very well in terms of the message to get across. So we will not want to look at the fears of individuals in terms of the decisions that we make. We must have a principle. We must have the policy framework behind it. Why are we doing this? Are we doing this to the best interest of the party, or are we doing this to the best interest of a particular individual? And the key phrase is that we should do this for the best interest of the country and consequently the best interests of the nation. And therefore that is our guiding spirit, that in making the decisions that we do make. And if those fears are there, well, they are not really influencing the decision. We have got a history of contestations in certain posts.
But that as it is, two incidences. You know, there were scenes in Mutare where there were verbal attacks against somebody who's perceived to be challenging. Nelson Chamisa in Douglas Monzora when he was talking, and there was accusations that this is a hired crowd. And then last week there were youths from Harare province, you know, were denouncing anyone who opposes Mr. Chamisa, you know. So questions that are there is that while you say these are the things that you espouse to as a party, some will argue this in the same instance and say, okay, that's all on paper, but in reality there are people with vested interests, and those vested interests may lie in particular individuals.
Well, look, when you come to a rally, it's a very expressive place. A rally is loud. They either cheer or they do otherwise. One day you are being cheered, the next day you are being booed, and so forth and so forth. Those are how rallies and that is the nature of the rallies.
But was this a rally which was pitting one person against somebody else?
No, it wasn't.
It's different from when somebody is from a different political party, and this is somebody who is, including Engineer Mzuru was there, somebody who is within the presidium being booed.
No, well, look. The rally, even when you are talking, people react to what you are saying. And sometimes deliberate. It is how crowds react to certain situations. But be that as it may, at the situation in Mutare, the president stood up. He expressed his views. He said that whether people liked or not, they needed to listen to everybody. That is the way, and that is the character of the party. That is the culture of the MDC. We need to listen to viewpoints and different viewpoints, make our own opinions after we have listened. And the record shows, if the videos are there, the record shows that the Secretary General was able to finish his speech.
This is true. I want to ask a follow-up question.
At the prompting.
First of all, I want to get our first call in for today. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, where are you calling from?
Yes, and then the Samson and the Lufon and the Great
Shield. Okay, it's all right, isn't it?
Ndiuda kupunza mafume yalanika asikunya tsuku kuda zvakajeka pachena ndinofara hangu nekutsanangura matsanangurira avaita zvimwe zvacho. He is quite clear on that. But the same question yabva kubvunzwa iyi ine chokuita ne that gathering, that rally. Hamufungi here kuti zvakanaka kumbomira kuita magatherings akadaro given that you know already kuti vanhu vanenge vari kind of polarized, mumwe nomwe ane choice yake. Mwachada maybe wacho ye afetu wa boot mwachada the current one, the incumbent. Saka knowing kuti naturally zvinondoza zvinongori, was it not advisable kumbomira kuita zvima rallies ano konzera those kind of things, because already izvozvo zvinotokonzeresa the kind of polarization imwe inogona kutodestroy a party as it were.
Okay, thank you for your contribution.
Well, look here, yeah, let's look for example in other democracies. They, when they are holding their congresses, let's say, or their selection processes, let's say in America or anywhere, they do hold gatherings where Democrats are pitted against each other. You'll have Trump, he rose among a field of Republican contestants. He was competing with other people. They would speak, they would cheer Trump, and they would boo Jeb Bush, or they would cheer this one within the same party. Now, the moment we start not giving access people to the crowds, not holding rallies, we will have a problem. The accusation will be that they are now hiding the structures. They are not allowing people to address. Not everyone is getting a platform. The key thing is to allow everybody who is in leadership at the current moment to be able to talk to. And we hold the rallies, not necessarily for the internal Congress processes. Because I said, remember, nominations in our party for the senior leadership will be done after all these other elections are done. But we've got a country that is surviving during that time. We cannot suspend all our activities. We political parties like a church, we have to meet. You cannot worship with people whom you are not meeting. We have to meet our people. We have to explain to them what our internal processes benefit them. And we have to talk to the subjective realities that they are living under. Economy, fuel shortages, drug shortages, dialogue issues. They need a feedback from the president who is currently sitting on what is our position on these very issues that are affecting people on a day-to-day basis. And the media space is closed. We don't have TV stations. The only way in other democracies they will be holding, you'll be able to hold town halls. Our president will be able to address on TV as well, even though he is not sitting at State House. But we can't do that. The best way and the most effective way we can meet our people and articulate our current and forward-looking agenda is by holding these meetings. And then we'll allow people to also speak at meetings. We should not be afraid of meeting. What we should be able to do is to regulate the conduct of the supporters.
Okay, so I get that you. We're able to meet. I get you. I mean, well, we can only speak for ourselves. We regularly invite you guys here, so you're always welcome to have a conversation with us. The thing that will worry people is that it's not just people within, you know, who are crowds out in Mutare or youths out in having a press conference. You've got some members of parliament and some people who are aligned to your party saying of a sitting senator saying that he is sponsored by ZANU-PF and that he's he's a puppet or whatever the case may be. Does that not, how up from the optics, does that not just look bad for your party?
Well, look here, we if they are sitting senators who have said that without proof, that would be unfortunate. But if one says something that they genuinely believe in and they are able to proffer proof, then it is a cause for concern, and surely they should be challenged, or they will be challenged to produce the proof of the allegations. And also, those who attract such accusations should be able to disprove them quite easily to the satisfaction of the discerning public.
But is Twitter the place that you do that? Isn't that showing that the dialogue between those, some of those individuals is not in a healthy space and has implications on some certain aspects of the party?
No, it should be done in-house. Once you do such thing on Twitter, you come in-house, you present it, people look at the evidence, they deal with it. And also, some of it is perception. You, as leaders, sometimes when people have certain people who have caused their suffering, and you behave in a manner where you hobnob with those people, where you seem to be comfortable in the company of those people, our supporters perceive. And because of the environment that I was telling you about in terms of the media context and everybody else, perception is everything. Once they see you hobnobbing, once they see you being comfortable in the presence of the people who are tormenting them without a just cause, without a discernible benefit to them as the population, they end up coming to the reasonable conclusion is that you are hobnobbing with those people because you are benefiting. So we need who are accusing need to have proof.
The question is, the next question, based on that answer, are you saying that there is a perception that in this instance, it was specifically directed at your SG, Douglas Monzara, that he is hobnobbing with people?
No, I didn't say that. I said
you mentioned that.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
He's
I said,
seen as and and but, you called it a reasonable conclusion.
No, I said one needs to, those who are making accusations need to provide the proof. Those who are in leadership, now this is a general indication that I'm making as the spokesperson of the party and the people spokesperson, that at times we as leaders, and it's something that you also learn when you are going into practice and you are representing people in court, you learn in terms of ethics. You get into the place in a divorce, for instance, you are representing the husband and the wife is on the other side, then you are busy backslapping, cheering and laughing with the other party on the other side. You might not have broken any rule, you might not have compromised the case in reality, but the perception that your client sees you so happy with the other client, the client might end up thinking, something is going on here. My case will not be represented as well as it should be. So this is reality. We're dealing with realities. You need to be very careful. The conduct needs to be clear. You need to be above reproach in certain instances. And when you have to enter into some of these conducts, you just need to be careful.
But the thing is, and I will ask this again, there has been conversations happening. For example, you were quoted somewhere saying, and along with Honorable Prince Dubeko Sibanda, that there was a lot to learn from the former president and meetings could possibly take place with him. Former President Mugabe. To get it from you, and says not for the avoidance of doubt, is there a meeting that's going to take place between
between
Mr. Chamisa and Mr. Mugabe?
There's no meeting that's going to take place between Mr. Chamisa and Mugabe in the next few days, as it was quoted. Will they never ever meet? Time will tell. But there is no meeting.
But would
in the next
be open to,
in the
to
next
such
few in the next few
sort of
days, there is no.
No,
the circumstances are that.
No. What I'm saying, I'm just asking.
No, I'm responding to a direct quote because
yes.
I was misquoted.
Okay,
but
carry on.
Fortunately, I was misquoted. Our president was misquoted, and fortunately, the guys who misquoted me were kind enough to do a retraction about the court, the Zimai. They retracted. They apologized for retracting a bit late because that quote, I never said that. It came from the blue. And there was just bang, headline there. The next few days, I mean, what does that even mean? There's no meeting in the next few days. But there's a lot to learn from the rule of President Robert Mugabe. There is a lot to learn in the sense that there were many mistakes that were made. The mistakes that were made, we need to avoid them. Mistakes in running the economy, mistakes in terms of human rights violations, mistakes in many spheres of what went wrong in that time. And also the lieutenants, mistakes in terms of handling succession issues. It's a historical process. There's something that has to be learned.
And would this be from a meeting? Not necessarily next few days. We've already discounted that.
Yeah, well, it might be from a meeting. It might be from what we felt, what we endured, what we went through through his rule. It is some of the. There are many methods of learning, but that there is no statement by the president. There is no statement from the party that there is a need to have that meeting at this particular point in time in the near future. Or in the far future, but it's not to say never, but I'm just saying that at this point in time, we are focused on correcting the mistakes that were made by the previous regime. We know where they made the mistakes. We learned through their mistakes by experiencing them, and that knowledge has given us enough tools to be able to say we should never ever again run the country the way they did. We should never cause human rights violations. We should never have Gukura Hundis. We should not have economies that collapse. We should not have inflation. We should not have a whole host of things that were there now, that are there now, and that were there during President Mugabe's time.
0731 168045, and that's the WhatsApp number. Our call-in number being 0772 168045. I know a lot of opinions that are coming in as far as this is concerned. I know that you may have tackled some of these. Where is this? Somebody's asking about the presidential age limit for the MDC. Is there such a thing?
A presidential age limit is in maximum.
Yeah, and either way, to be the head of the
party. There are no limits in the constitution. There are no limits in the constitution in terms of the age limit. We certainly don't ask people to bring their certificates when they want to run for president.
Okay, let's just get this message quick. This call in quickly before we take a quick break. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, where you're calling from? Okay, you're live on ZFM Stereo. Okay, we seem to have lost that call. Please do try to call back. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to tackle. I know a lot of people are asking about this question, dialogue. That is the question that has been asked by so many people. I've got the spokesperson of the MDC in the building, and we're going to ask him about that particular issue of dialogue.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
That is still ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. And other frequencies you can listen to us, Victoria Falls 106.5, Mashingo 96.1, Kadoma 105.2, Mutale 95.4. As always, Sable Eye, my hometown, 106.7. And we're broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. Going to get this caller in. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, or where you're calling from?
It's Lutan from Mozumba.
Go ahead with your contribution.
Okay, I think Mr. Mafume is clarifying on every question you are asking him. That's all I want to say.
Okay, thank you very much for your contribution. Of course, the thing that is on everybody's lips is issue of dialogue between your party and ZANU-PF. Is there intent to have dialogue from your end?
Yes, dialogue was something that we suggested. And I want to hasten to add that the Congress is not all about election. The Congress is also about many other things. It's about policies. It's about this dialogue. It's about the course, charting a new course for the nation. It's about giving direction. It's about shaping the narrative, as it were, in able to deal with the issues that bedevil the country. So it's not all about positions. It's about preferring tangible solutions, as it were. And we are going to be charting a new course for the nation with this Congress, where we will re-energize, revitalize, reignite the search for solutions for Zimbabwe. And one of the issues that we had placed front center has been the issues of dialogue. Now we need dialogue. We placed it a long time ago that they need to be dialogue. The Zimbabwean situation needs dialogue. What we need, we've got a 5-point plan by which was advocated by President Nelson Chamisa, and it was very clear the key tenets of it all is that the dialogue must be done by a neutral arbiter. It must be between the main protagonists, which is Mr. Mnangagwa and President Advocate Nelson Chamisa, and that this dialogue must be genuine, must lay the frameworks for legitimacy in terms of making bringing back legitimacy to the state of Zimbabwe. We've had. And that can only happen through reconciliation, political reforms, economic reforms, international engagement, as it were. Those are the platforms of dialogue. We are ready. We went to the church meeting, invited by the churches, where we expected Mr. Mnangagwa to be there. And alas, that did not happen. But we had expected that should the church's dialogue begin, there will be a search for arbitrations, because the country needs dialogue. We cannot continue like it is. People are suffering. Health system is collapsing. Schools are collapsing. A fuel is not there. The economy is threadbare. We are now informalized, the whole economy. The formal economy has all but disappeared. There is suffering and more suffering inside. That has led to political rights being restricted, people being hurt, people being killed, people being raped, as it were, allegations are abound. And so we need, as a nation, to put a stop to this. And the only way we can do it is by having dialogue. And it's by having dialogue as of yesterday, so that we are able to hold a proper transition. Otherwise, this transition will have a stillbirth.
So the question that I ask as a follow-up to that is that the one side is, I'm not going to have dialogue with you until you recognize me as the president. And the other side is, I'm not going to have dialogue with you until I have these, you know, all these demands that I have in place. The question for someone sitting at home is that, is there any possibility of a stalemate, of getting out of this kind of stalemate?
Well, there is. I mean, that's the whole political process. And all those things that a person is saying, those are the things that they are supposed to bring to the dialogue. They are supposed to bring to the dialogue the issues of recognition. They are supposed to bring to the dialogue the issues and lay their basis for that recognition. We have laid the basis for non-recognition, and simply that the electoral or the election was held in an environment that a number of commentators have said would not produce a legitimate result. And therefore, we have laid our basis for not recognizing. They need to lay their basis why they need to be recognized. They cannot be recognized from across the hill, so from the mountains.
So the follow-up question to that is to say, are we saying that we're going to have a dialogue about the dialogue first before the actual dialogue?
Well, the dialogue, there's a framework for every dialogue. Each side brings its position. You bring your position, the other side brings your position. But these positions are brought at the dialogue. They are not brought by proxy. They are not brought from afar. We have laid our issues for dialogue out in the open. We have written about them. The president has spoken about it. It's all out in the open, what we think needs to be done and what we know needs to be done for Zimbabwe to get out of this quagmire. And we have put it out, we've placed our cards on the table through our president, and we are therefore expecting that the other side will also place the cards on their table. But we need to emphasize that time waits for no man, and time is running out. We need to be able to bring relief through dialogue to the Zimbabwean population, which is taking the brunt of the stalemate, the economic stalemate, and it can only get worse. And the only way there will be meaningful international re-engagement is by us talking to each other and then being able to then invite the international community to re-engage with us.
So based on that sort of scenario, some quarters have suggested that there wasn't really that eagerness for the dialogue from either side, because the issue of who would become the substantive president of the MDC had not been resolved, and that needed to take place first and foremost. What would you say to that?
People are measuring on the minor. We had a presidential candidate from the MDC, mm-hmm. and that resolved it. There were no two presidential candidates.
No, but I'm saying the case of supposing he loses the election in next month, between May, a month after next, between May 24 and 26.
No, but a nation is not run that way. There are existing relationships that are there. Decisions can be made. People adopt decisions that are made by the current. We can't stop resuscitating a clearly dead economy, resuscitating a dead political environment, simply because we will be holding. Where do we stop? Where do we stop in terms of change leadership? What we do have at the current moment, we have a president for the MDC who's a substantive president, who ran in an election which is the genesis of the conflict. It was President Nelson Chamisa and the president of ZANU-PF, Mr. Mnangagwa, who ran in that election.
Yes,
and
the stalemate
is between them.
So what would happen? Would the stalemate remain between the two of them, say somebody else were to win the presidency?
When?
No, I'm saying the presidency of the MDC. If somebody else wins the presidency,
but the dialogue framework is a principled position. If an act of God were to happen to any of our leaders, God forbid, that's probably another question you might have. If an act of God were to happen in between, then the MDC goes on.
No, you say the basis is that there was a standing candidate,
mm-hmm.
who, and he's disputing with a standing candidate for the party that is in government right now. So, if in the event that they vote for somebody else,
the framework still remains the same.
So who would be the person having that discussion?
The person who will be there in that position will be having that discussion. I mean, the discussion is not person specific. That's why I was giving you another example that is probably, because an election-related example might be too close to home, so people might not think objectively about it. But take, for instance, an act of God happens to you or to anybody else. The platform will continue, isn't it? We will still come here, commiserate that Larry is no longer there with us, but wherever he is, we hope he is. But the platform goes on, the dialogue goes on.
But surely you can also contest that there will be arguments around the fact that he will say in this instance, Mr. Chamisa, if he should lose the position, then he'll say, okay, I had 2.1 million people or whatever the number is that voted for me. So I have a sense of I should be the one in this discussion. You're saying that sort of thing would not take place?
Yes. That sort of thing. There are a lot of sort of things that will not take place in your example. And we might veer off into wild speculation, which is normally not a very good place to be with. But what we are clear is that dialogue is needed now, not post-26th May. It's not needed in May or June or July. We needed dialogue as of yesterday. And the position in relation to the topic we are discussing, which is dialogue, is that the president of the MDC is President Advocate Nelson Chamisa. He is the one who will lead the dialogue now. Our position, you're asking our position. Our position is that we should have dialogue now, not tomorrow, not any other day. We are already out of time in terms of the framework of the dialogue. What is happening now, where we have a collection of other parties going there, does not make sense and will not get us anywhere. And some of them are pulling out anyway. But we need the dialogue now, and we are the MDC, which is currently led by President Nelson Chamisa. We have currently put out our positions for the dialogue, and we are waiting. It takes two to tango. We are waiting for the other party to realize that the nation is at stake, that a lot is at stake, that people are suffering. Once they realize that people are suffering, it will be an easy decision for them to dialogue. Already they are dialoguing. They are dialoguing with they are trying to dialogue with China. They are dialoguing with Uzbekistan, or I don't know how many stands they've been able to talk to in the Far East, countries that I probably had never heard of until our president, until Mr. Mnangagwa went there. So, but the dialogue needs to happen here, and it needs to happen now.
So then the next question I ask is, some people perceive you, and it's been rounded out, as you're backing the current president, Chamisa, for the position?
Yes.
So that's who you're backing for the presidency?
Yes, I've won president. I have President Chamisa.
No, what I mean is, it's essentially just a clarification that you're in his camp in as far as the election.
Oh, if you ask me, yeah. I personally, yes, I back President Nelson Chamisa. I do so for a variety of reasons. I'm not speaking as the party spokesperson. I'm speaking for my person, which I'm entitled to do so. I do know that he performed well in the last presidential election. I am aware that he has got a vision for the country. I am aware that we have set a foundation where we will be able to bring relief to the people of Zimbabwe. We are a new generation. We are there to deal with the social ills, the economy, and there is hope. There is hope. There is a message. There is a new course that he will be charting, and I firmly sold in that course, and it's a personal opinion. As a person, I'm entitled to it, and I do feel that we are on the right path in terms of where we need to go, in terms of the policies that have been articulated, in terms of the methodologies that we have adopted. And I do think that they will bring fruit in the short to immediate term. And therefore, I have no reason.
So, in the instance, once again, where if he does not end up getting the position, and you are you planning to run for any positions, supposing the 16 positions are
well, I do hope to remain the people's spokesperson.
Okay, so would you still remain as if you won the position to work with somebody who is different from the current?
There's no problem. There's no problem. But I have a view which is there. And I do hope that everybody will campaign for whoever they believe in. But I do believe in the vision that President Nelson Chamisa has articulated, and that vision, we have worked very hard for it, day and night. We have been persecuted for it. We have achieved the results we have achieved. We've got control of the urban councils. We've got the number of MPs. We've got 2.6 million votes that we got. That was not a joke. And that was blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of prayers for us to get to that position. And remember, we are a civilian party up against a military establishment, up against a security establishment, and an incumbent.
What I need to ask, though, is now, given what some people say, positions being entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
If there has been talk, and is getting louder and louder, of the possibility of a split in the party, especially if there is a marked instance in which people who happen to belong to one camp do not get into positions and things of that nature, does that worry you any bit?
It would be unfortunate if anyone thinks like that. There won't be a split in the party. One can get out. Remember, some of us have had that experience.
Are you then saying there's a possibility some might leave the party if they do?
Well, people always leave and join the party at a particular time. It is not a cult where you have to die in it, unlike our other counterpart party, which is a cult. Ours is a civilian democratic party, where the right to associate and disassociate is given. We will not force anyone to remain any day longer than they do not wish to remain. But what we will do, we'll create a conducive environment for it to be a big tent. We'll create a conducive environment where the election is not a do or die situation, where the issue of positions is not the be-all and end-all of being in the MDC. One should be prepared to be a card-carrying member. There are so many card-carrying members who do not have a position, but who faithfully come to the rallies, who will buy a T-shirt, who will pay their subscription, who will wear their membership of the MDC with honor and pride, even when they are simple branch member. And the day I become a branch member, I will certainly wear the T-shirt with pride, follow the President Chamisa with pride, follow the party with pride, and contribute to the best of my ability in the position that I am in.
Okay, let's get this call coming in. You're live with ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where you calling from?
Hello, Tarantinswe. Ndaida kubvunza vamafume because pane tasenge pane zvimwe zvinhu zvatinombonyenyeredza both sides, kana tikatarisa both sides of the political divide. Kunenge kuti there are other forces also practically on the ground anoita seano affect ama political processes emuno. For example, ndambonzwa vachinotisa mastani aya dzimwe nyika dzakashanyirwa na president. These are their friends, but then they are Russia and Dika. One of them are not Sigira or and it's not deniable the renewal opposition in Kuboku. And I want to say that we not Sigir or Neoku West. Agendas, one of my vested interests, Munom, and they are two Irani, ndi tinozoona zvinhu zvino zvinofanisa kutadzisa maZimbabweans semuri imwe kuwirirana. Handizii, can you have some way of resolving these issues makatarisa those facts? Because these are major giants of this world. They are political and economic giants. Vanotorwisana upate zvavo fighting for these resources. Because tikasatarisa that side iroreo, nogona kuona kuti hondo yedu munomwe inogona kutadza kupera. Ende inenge isiri yedu pachedu, asi ichikonzerwa nevamwe vanhu.
Okay, thank you for your contribution. Your thoughts on that?
Well, look, let's not blame our friends for our own disputes. I mean, we are adults. We are a nation that has been independent for 39 years. We need to create a platform where we know what we can take from each nation. We need to be able to say as a country, if you are good friends with the Stans and you are good friends with the West, what is it that we need for the best interests of Zimbabweans? What can we take from each for the best interests of Zimbabweans? The first thing that we need to do is to be able to get along ourselves so people will not take advantage of perceived or actual differences. We need an international relations policy framework that is Zimbabwe-centered, that allows the best to be obtained from Zimbabwe. You can look at the Chinese international relations, which is economic-centered right now. They take from the West, they take from us in the South, they take from the North, they take from everywhere. In the world, they are able to be a friend to everyone and an enemy to none, and that is where we need to place our. We are too small to be involved in conflicts whose origins we are not aware of. We are too small to be involved in conflicts where our contribution in those conflicts will be negligible. Okay. So we need to be Zimbabwe centered.
Okay, in just 1 minute, your message to members of your party, the MDC.
Well, the members of the party, let us show the country how a civilian party operates. We are going to have a democracy festival. A festival of democracy is a happy place. We need to show the country that we're a peaceful, pro-poor, and pro-Zimbabwe party. And that everything that we are going to do, we are going to be able to show how democracy is done. And that we will come out stronger and we will chart a new course for the nation.
Councillor Jacob Mafume, who is the MDC spokesperson, almost said Alliance again. I need to get that out of my head. As a councillor for my pleasant, thank you very much for coming in for this conversation. You're always welcome to have a chat with us.
Thank you for having us. We hope we have clarified what has been affecting the people.
Chilla is coming up with our story. I'm back with you tomorrow between 8:30 and 9 on Health Matters. Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. As I say, from where I come from, my name is Larry Quidadaya. I see you, Siyasebenza. Take care of yourself.